this is, you know, just good. It's just good. Yeah, you guys are going to see that those words were really inspired. That was a word, Bill Hart, you spoke up here earlier. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so happy Palm Sunday. And indeed it is. It's springtime in Texas. Nothing like it, right? So you guys have heard about the super bloom. You know, it said that, you know, this comes along every so many years due to good conditions in the winter. And they said Texas is, this 2019 was a super bloom year. And in California, Danielle's parents are here from California, you'll know about this. There's a big super bloom that's going on out there. This super bloom is so big that you can see it from space. It is amazing. I heard from my brother this week. He said that in North Carolina, the super bloom was so big when they flew in, like the skies were literally yellow. It was just like amazing, just amazing. And so I kind of felt like in the spirit, something was up, you know? I like talking to this group because they're like, yeah, something's up. They're always looking. Something's up. So let's talk about that. Earlier this year, Papa was talking about Isaiah 43:13. We know this. You know, it's been spoken ad nauseum to your, like, yeah, whatever, something new, right? Behold, I will do something new. This is the Lord. Now it will spring forth. Do you not perceive it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Springing forth is explosive growth. Explosive growth. It's exuberance of growth. So what we want to do for a moment is talk about what precedes explosive growth. Do you not perceive it? See, the people of God are supposed to see something before it's seeable. So what goes on inside and in the deep places, that is the prep time, right? The preparation time. It looks like rest, but there is a lot going on in the deep place, being stored up and ready for the explosive growth. Since the beginning of this year, Papa cut loose with a new thing and has been prepping us for springtime in the spirit, for explosive growth, for the super bloom. Okay? Now, I know you guys are sick of the pollen, but that's something you notice, right? We want to look at what we can't notice. What happens in preparation time is where we are becoming. You've heard Papa say becoming so many times that you're like, it kind of, your eyes glaze over. But listen, guys, this is what you've been doing. You have been becoming. See, I'm perceiving it. I'm here telling you what's been going on. I want to confirm the word that Papa has been speaking as he has planted these seeds. It's like the seed of seeds that was planted, which is Jesus Christ. He was planted in the earth. He died. He rose to victory. The Spirit poured out like rain on the early church, and we had a super bloom. Pentecost was the super bloom. Suddenly, everybody's like, what is going on? There's pollen everywhere. So when Jesus died and he was put in the tomb and the rock was rolled across, that looked like the end of the story. That looked like, that's it. It's done. I can see nothing else. Nothing's going to happen and nothing's going to come out of this story. That was the end of the story. Or was it? Something's up. When it springs forth, we see the growth, and eventually we see the fruitfulness. And that's when we go, oh, that thing that looked like a dead tree, that pile of sticks over there, that's an oak tree, actually. And that's a grapevine, actually, because now we can recognize it. This is a time, the super bloom is a time where we begin to recognize, oh my gosh, something's happening, and it eventually leads to an abundant fruitfulness that we can assign the origin. You see, you are the super bloom. You're the place where fruitfulness is going to happen. You are the place where they are going to say, that would be Jesus. So, as in Isaiah, we are called to perceive this even when we don't see it. So as Papa B has been preparing us for times like this, I want you to understand this word today is confirming what's been going on. This super bloom can be seen from heaven. So the blessing that is on the house is the blessing tied to your house, if you are tied to this house. You see, there's something about the corporate expression and the individual expression. Not necessarily if you're not really tied in. So how does this blessing flow? Well, it flows the same way Jesus connects to us as we connect to him, as we connect to each other. We've been through this millions of times. It's a wedding vow. I will never forsake you. I'm not leaving you. You're stuck. So as you get stuck to us, to this house, the blessing that is on the house will come into your house. There's lots of ways we connect. We connect like we just did with giving. We connect with how we minister to one another. But most of all, we connect. It's like how we are going to walk together from now on, whether we're a million miles apart or in each other's back pocket, right? So I want to also clarify what it means to make room for everybody. This is going to be relevant to you in a minute. Whether it's the fivefold expression, you know, like Bill Vanderbush was talking about, apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, or if it's in various gifts of expression, you know, whether it's healings or hospitality or whatever, or whether it's like how we worship, what color we are, our flavor, whatever expression, how do you make room for everything? And Bill Vanderbush was saying this house is unusual in that regard because we make room for everything. But I want you to understand how we make room. You see, if you just make room for everything, that's the way the world does it. It's called multiculturalism. It won't pan out. Why? Because eventually, when it gets tested enough, the different expressions will step apart. Because they're still known by their individual peace that they bring. You're known by your individuality. But in the kingdom, when we connect this way, where we never leave and we never forsake, automatically everybody's included. Every expression, every flavor, everybody's brought into the house. And when it gets tested, we just draw closer. This is the difference, and this is why it's very important right now for us to understand about this corporate connection that we have. So being bound together as one in Christ, this is different because the only way you can do it is in the Holy Spirit. It's with the Spirit of the Lord. We connect with the same Spirit, and that Spirit pours out to create the super bloom. We don't want multiculturalism because it's faux oneness. We want to be bound together just like the wedding vow, where the blessing flows to all. The blessing that's on this house becomes the blessing for all. So now, this season of springing forth of rapid expansion, rapid growth, let's talk about that. Next thing Papa brought up was Isaiah 54:2, another verse you're familiar with. This sweet admonishment, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, spare not, lengthen your cords, strengthen your tent pegs, stretch out. Something has to change. in the growth time. You see, I always saw, oh, that just means we're going to have more people. Let's remodel. But listen, stretching is hard. It's uncomfortable. We are stretching like a wineskin. So if we cling to our old paradigms, we're going to have a little difficulty stretching out to accommodate what the Lord is getting ready to pour out. What's coming up out of the tent, the fruitfulness, the people, the expression of the Lord. And it says, you know, secure your tent pegs. Make sure they are rooted in the right thing or it won't sustain. Right? So we can't afford to approach this with our old paradigms. So are we trying to become mature, pretending with our childish ways? Just because that's what we want. Growth time is challenging. It's what makes us grow. It's what makes us become. The challenges are good for you. Challenge is the breakfast of champions. When you say good morning, it prophesies over your day, your journey. We set the course of the journey with how we're going to embrace the challenges, how we respond to them. So, interesting word, respond. It originally comes from the word to pledge and the answer. Commit. Solution. Interesting, isn't it? So how did the Lord respond to us? He gave everything. He gave his son, bankrupted heaven for us. He didn't hold back, spare not. Did he stretch out? He gave Jesus for all. He spared nothing. And this was his response, his pledge, his answer to us. So now how are we going to respond to him? So now we go to the story of Joshua and Caleb again. I love these guys. They're just fascinating to me, especially in this season of super bloom. As you know the story, Israelites are in the wilderness, traveling around, marking the time. Joshua and Caleb hanging out in the glory. Following Moses, pressing into the glory, pressing into the head. And finally it's time, the Lord says, okay, we're going to send out some spies. We're going to spy out this reward place, this land of promise. Want 12 of them. So they send out to each of the tribes who sends their top guy. Here comes Joshua, here comes Caleb, and 10 other guys. All right, so they go into the promised land. As you know, they found some honking fruit, big stuff, land flowing with milk and honey. You know, there were some giants there too, but anyway, the fruit. So they came back, and it was one of those wonderful scenes. You know, the dramatic part where they come back and they're telling the story. But the response of the Israelites wasn't quite so great. 10 spies focused on the giants. 2 spies focused on the Lord. The promise, the fruit. So, immediately there was grumbling. What did you bring us here for? My gosh, we had stuff in the wilderness and Egypt, yeah, I know we were slaves, but we had stuff and we didn't have to look at the giants, just the taskmaster. So, you know, what'd you bring us here for? So the wilderness time, understand, represents infancy. This is where everything is provided for the babes in Christ, right? You have all your milk. You know, you got your manna, you got your stuff, you got your clothes, all provision. But then there comes a time where it's time to grow up. And now it's time to move into the bigger tent, right? And when they get ready to do this, here's what the Lord says. I want you to do X, Y, and Z. He's very specific. This requires the obedience of the sons to do what he said. Now, obedience is like that stage of growth in the middle where you become a mature son and you're obedient. right? And then when they moved into the promised land, the whole point was that they slay the giants. They drive out the people and possess the land. And that represents maturity. Why? Because once you overcome something, you become more than an overcomer. When I asked Papa, what does that mean to be more than an overcomer? He says that means you now have the maturity to rule over that which you overcame. So you can see the progression here. All right. Our experiences in one place prepare us for the next step. So now is it's the obedient son time. Well, the Lord encourages us. He doesn't leave us like, do this. You know, he showed them the fruit. He told them the promise. So the test is now to see the reward and the majesty of Christ bigger than a giant. And so when he says, remember not the former things, first he says, hey, you remember all that stuff I did? Well, don't remember it. That's not what he's saying. He says, all this stuff is supposed to tell you who I am for you. And don't confine me to that because I got more. Remember not that. Get yourself set for what we're getting ready to do. How many times in our concern of the challenges do we confine the Lord with our fears? So the point is there's no way. That's the point. That there is no way. No way, Jose. I think that's kind of funny, actually. Jose is kind of like Joseph. And that's Joshua is a diminutive of Joseph. Same thing, means Jesus. Just saying. Jesus is the way. He creates the way. So as you trust him, something happens. The Israelites were so scared of failure, they couldn't connect properly with the Lord. So most people will live somewhere between failure and success. And it never really pans out. We think it does. We try to hedge our bets. But it's like when you go to the wedding altar, do you hedge your bets? Jesus, we need a prenup. Sorry, just want to make sure all the bases are covered. No, that's not how we do it. We go in all the way. We will never leave or forsake you, Lord. This is what he's asking for. So the altar symbolizes death to ourselves, but it positions you to live for more than yourself. Why fear success? Because of the responsibility. Honestly, there's going to be some stuff required. So we want guarantees. We want certainty. We want comfort. Life can be filled with setback and gain, but that's not the point. The point is him, whether you're going to commit or not. Growth is risk. Everyone came to the conclusion it wasn't worth the risk. It wasn't worth the risk. They wouldn't put themselves on the line. The kingdom is not a socialist experiment where there's no risk, no faith, no provision, no expectation, no response, no responsibility. That's just infantile. So we're very much children when we go, there's no way. And God responds to pledge with the answer. So when we engage the testing, engage the challenge, then we go in and we possess. The battle actually prepares us, right? And we become more than an overcomer. The greatest test we will ever face is the one we don't know that we're in. You don't know till it's over and you go, oh, grace for a redo. All you have to do is turn to the Lord. Any failure in your life is temporary. It's always temporary. See, when Joshua sent spies into Jericho, you know he did that, right? They sent spies into the promised land, but once they got there, they had to take Jericho, and he sent spies into Jericho. And they spoke with Rahab, who was the prostitute. And she told them this quote, "A great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you." Because when the people heard what God had done for the Israelites in Joshua 2, our hearts melted in fear. And everyone's courage failed because of you. See, the spies should have known this. They themselves had sung this from Exodus when they were crossing the Red Sea. "The people of Canaan melted away. Terror and dread fell upon them." They should have known that. In Psalm 78, which Papa preaches on, they were fully equipped, but in the day of the battle, they drew back, right? The reason's because their heart wasn't right. The Lord had prepared the victory, but they wouldn't step into it. So why did the 10 spies make this mistake? Why did Joshua and Caleb not make it? So there was this group who did this experiment. They took all these kids and put them in a room and started giving them puzzles to do. And all the kids were game. They're on it as kids are. It was play to them. The interesting thing was, over time, they made the complication get higher and higher of each puzzle. Soon some pushed back and left, lost interest in it. But the others would stay, and they'd go at it and go at it and go at it. And this was a conclusion of the experiment. There are some of us who have fixed mindsets. We're good to in a certain realm, and that's enough. We don't want to go any further. Those are called fixed mindsets. But the other ones who continued on, those children had what they called growth mindsets. It's kind of interesting to me because we're called to have a renewed mind, a different type of mindset, a kingdom mindset. There was this basketball coach, and I can't think of who it is, but he's known for saying this to his players. He'd say, "You may be outscored, but you'll never lose." One of the conclusions also of this little experiment was that you shouldn't tell your children, "Oh my gosh, your talent at X is so amazing." Or, you know, "Hey, you know, the writer in you is just incredible." What you should praise them for is their willingness to get in the game. Their willingness to try. Because if they fall short, then they get this confused with, "Oh my gosh, I'm not who I'm supposed to be." But if you train them to have a growth mindset, it'll change their life and everyone who's connected with them. Even if they're not leaders, they have a growth mindset. It's so good. Huh? John who? Wooden, John Wooden. Okay, you guys know this. See, I knew the quote. That part stuck with me. I love it. So, I mean, seriously, guys, what is the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen? As if when that rock rolled in front of the tomb, that was the end of the story. Death couldn't hold him. He was the victory. So, what are we looking at? Are you looking at the wrong rock? Are you looking at the rock in front of the tomb? Or are we looking at the rock who anchors us forever? The one who anchors our tent pegs down, right? Mindset, be renewed, be renewed. Joshua actually had a name change. He was Hosea. And the Lord changed his name, or Moses, the Lord was working through Moses, changed his name to Joshua, which is, so he was a prototypical type of Jesus, a leader, a deliverer. All right, and Caleb was a man of a different spirit. His actual family line was of Judah. That was Joseph's brothers. So Joseph's brothers sold him off into slavery in Egypt. He rose to power. When the famine came, the brothers came to get food and such. And so Joseph put them to the test and kept Benjamin. And Judah, who had sold his own brother into slavery, now stepped forward, said, no, 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 take me instead of him. Take me instead of him. That was the inheritance of Caleb. This is so cool. I like this stuff. So the story of the spies has a significant message for us. God does not ask you not to fail. He asks you to be obedient. And in that, you will become mature. You will become in him victorious. That is your response. So, of course, we eventually find Caleb taking the hill country. You know, he had his cape on, was taking his supplements, stronger in his old age, still embracing the challenges of growth and becoming, with a heart set for God's will, rejoicing in maturity and fruitfulness. And we find Joshua going for it at Jericho. Joshua kind of ran into this guy, Joshua 5:13, was the angel of the Lord. And he made this mistake. He goes, sword, he's got a sword, right? Are you on our side or not? And he goes, neither. I am the captain, the host of the Lord's army. I mean, he was there as the Lord to lead them. And he says this, get your sandals off. It's holy ground. So the Lord was leading them one way over here. But now, as obedient sons, he was leading them this way. And of course, Joshua, in the deep humility of his heart, immediately recognized what was going on. He takes his sandals off. You may feel like you're strong in the Lord. You may feel like you're talented and you got it going on. You may feel self-confident, but never forget, the Lord says, victory's mine. We keep ourselves positioned right before the Lord. You know, I had to clean out some stuff in the attic, and I found some old pictures of Spencer when he was real little. And it reminded me of this time where, you know, in the middle of the night, I wake up and I hear, Mom, Dad. He never kind of like, Mom, Dad. He never did that. It was always real, Mom. And we go running in there, and he's sitting in his bed backwards with the headboard right here. And we go, what's wrong? He goes, something's wrong, Mom. Something's wrong. We're like, yeah, it is. So we just turned him around. Everything was fine. See, sometimes you just need somebody to help you be repositioned so that you don't see the obstacle, but you see the opportunity. 15, right? He could turn me around at 15. So we don't want to shrink back from the challenge. Will we trust the Lord? You see, because there's always a faith element involved in every challenge you face. You're not going to look out there and not need faith. It won't be blind faith, though. You'll see it with the eyes of faith because your heart will be positioned, right? Faith does not deny the existence of the problems. It denies the influence of the problems. So don't do this thing where people go, how are you doing? I'm fine. Nothing's wrong with me. I'm making the right confession. You know, people are there to walk with. Just deny the influence of the problem. Again, what's the worst that can happen? Is that really going to stop you from loving the Lord? Is it really going to stop you from your faith walk? No, it may slow you down a little, but it is not going to stop you. Here's the deal. Are you willing? Fear of failure causes us to fail. It is the willingness to fail that causes us to succeed. Are you willing, church? It is the will set to do his will that opens things up corporately and individually. Let us stretch out the tent curtain, secure the pegs, and grow. Listen, surf's up. You don't get out there to surf and watch everybody surf right by you. You catch the wave when it's there. Timing is important. Will we embrace this season that we're in, this growing season? And by the way, guess what? There's giants. Breakfast. Right response opens up the possibilities of God. The other day, this is what I love so much about Lorena, I challenged her with something. And rather than shrink back, she stepped up. And her willingness to be challenged, the word of the Lord came forth. And she was able to step into that in maturity. And I commend her for that. You see, it wasn't until she responded to the challenge that the opportunity opened up. It seems there's no way. There is a plethora of ways you get to explore with the Lord. He will lead you through to the right one. The cloud of witnesses is cheering us on. This is not just a typical cheerleading crowd. You see, cheerleaders aren't for the people in the game. Cheerleaders are for the spectators. Hello? Those people that are in the game, they don't even hear the cheerleaders. You know, they're intent. They're already engaged. They're already doing the thing. They're willing to fail. They're get out there. They're putting it on the line out there. This cloud of witnesses is not an external cheerleading crew. The cloud of witnesses has literally sown their lives into your victory, into your lives. It is an inside cheerleading. They know where this is concluding. They are on the other side of that rock. They know what's going on here. They're not under any illusions of giants. They're very clear on that. And they know that the Lord is glorified in all of this. Get in the game. Get in the game. Get in the game. Cross over and get in the game. You don't follow cheerleaders, by the way. You follow the ones that are in the game. So, I want to spend a little bit of time telling you, first of all, I want to reiterate, you are the super bloom. And you are seen from heaven. I'm not just saying words, okay? Since the first of this year, I have seen something happen in your lives. And I'm watching stuff being released right now. This is a time of rapid advancement. Hello. Rapid advancement. If you will engage it. I was like, this is why I was so flabbergasted when you got up here, Bill, and you were just like, bah, bah, pressing in. Admonishing us, lifting us up, edifying us, building up the face to shine, because we are going to be seen not just from heaven. There will be a point where they're going to be coming for their selfie pics, their perfect Insta selfie pics with you guys. Only they think they're coming for the selfie and they're going to discover something beyond their self. This is really an important time. We've been preparing for this for a long time. But as you embrace it, you hang into the glory, press into the leader, press into the body, press into this commitment, this pledge. The solution comes from the pledge. It comes from being all in, all committed, not shrinking back. This is a very, very special year. You know, there are certain years in the body of Christ that seem like seminal years. I look back on certain ones that are markers. This, I felt at the beginning of the year, we're going to look back on this year and go, that was really important. 2019 was really important in the body of Christ. Surf's up. Okay, so first of all, I want to pray a little bit over you, and then I want us to make some declarations. And when we make declarations, we're confirming this, okay? You are making a declaration before the people, before the powers and principalities, and mostly before the Lord. That's what our confirmations and declarations are about. So hold that real close. Stand up, please. Let's pray for just a moment. We're only going to pray for just a moment. I want you to embrace these words like you're embracing him. Lord, you are our captain. You are our way. You're the mighty one. Yours alone is the victory. We are thankful that we are included in that. Forgive us our weak moments where we have shrunk back in our hearts. Forgive us our unbelief. Fill us again with your spirit today. Fill us with what we need for the bloom. We are engaged, we are renewed, and we are fully in with you. Our faith is in you alone. Guide us into this word, captain of the host of the Lord. We want to be found obedient and faithful by you. We desire that our fruitfulness testifies to the one we are tied to. We want them to know this vine. We want them to follow us as we have followed others, as we have followed Christ. Today we remove the sandals of our heart. We worship you. We welcome your lordship. We know where it goes. It's all we need. We just need you. We are thankful, God, for the day of the super bloom. For when you bring forth fruit, when you bring forth rapid growth, it's like nothing else. People know it's different. People know it's different. And so, Lord, that is light and life, shine. Put that beacon in our face, in our mouth. And as Papa B admonished us about our mouth, Lord, we pray that what comes out of our mouth edifies others and testifies of your love and your life. The fact that you are the victory. We bless you, God, and we thank you. We thank you today. So, amen. I'm standing before you today like a spy. This is the super bloom year. There's giants, but I'm talking honking fruit. I'm talking everything before you has to move aside. In our Western mindset, we are solution-oriented. In our charismatic circles, we're solution-oriented. But remember, the answer comes with the pledge. That's our response. We're in. I'm in with all of you, each of you. I'm pledged to you. I know you're pledged to the Lord, and I am thankful for every one of you. You're incredible. Not because you're so stinking gifted and talented, because you really are, but because you guys will press in. You guys are willing. You're willing. Failure is irrelevant. You just want to be in the game with each other and with the Lord. And that's amazing. That's incredible. You're people with a growth mindset.